Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
It's a great day on the Paula Price Show. Welcome, Dr. Paula Price. I think you're on mute.
Other people, I want to say a special welcome to my callers today. You know, I'm waiting for Thursdays, and every now and then I like to let them know, because it's really true. I get a kick out of Thursdays. I enjoy it. I mean, come on, Prophet Ashley, don't you too? Don't you enjoy when Wednesday night comes? You know that means what? Thursday's coming.
Oh yes, and I think what I love about Thursday is this is kind of like our own reality TV show, radio show, but it is actually reality. It's not scripted at all, not directed. There isn't somebody in the background saying, "Ooh, I like that. Do that again for the camera, and this time do this, this, and this." And so it is our kingdom reality radio.
Yes, but you know what's so good about it? It's the reality of God's reality. It's not ours. It's not our everyday stuff. Because, you know, sometimes saints want our reality to be God's reality. You know, they want God, the world to know how it is to belong to God, not how it is for God to have to deal with us. And sometimes what we have to have is a platform where God's world and God's experience with us is always promoted and publicized. I have said that over and over again when I'm teaching. I said, you know, we are so full of ourselves as Christians, you know, and, you know, we're smug as the children of God and the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't realize they have a whole reality about us that's kind of interesting. And so I like Thursdays, and I like this Blog Talk Radio. I bless that company, whoever they might be. But I ask God all the time, God, let me experience your world and you in our world. Because when we experience God in our world, instead of allowing God to just show up now and again, we find out the kingdom is excited. That's what I found out doing this program every week. The kingdom is exciting. We've got amazing people out there. God has some amazing people in the kingdom, and I only get to a few of them every week, but I certainly love doing this, and I thank you all for, we're growing. I know some of you haven't heard, but we are growing. We're getting a larger audience, a larger following, a larger re-listens. I'm excited about that. We're getting more and more donors. I want to thank my brand new donors that have come aboard this week, and I ask God to continue to bless you. And to, I personally command the harvest on your seed and the security that comes with taking care of something that's important with God. I release that in your life. I welcome all of our new callers. You know, actually, we get new people every week, and I always like to hear from the new ones because, you know, you want to know how they even found us. How'd you find me? You know, how did you know? We don't have any real advertising like that other than the internet, but it is popular. But I want to say to every one of you, thank you. Thank you for this wonderful time, because I get a kick out of it. I love hearing from you. I love praying for you. I love learning what God is doing with you. When you share your testimonies, it touches my heart to know what God is doing. When I get off the call and I go to my Facebook, and yes, I go to my own Facebook. I know that's difficult to believe, but I occasionally go to my own Facebook myself. I don't always use the team. Sometimes I just like to go and connect. And some of you all know that because I answered some of you personally. But I go to my Facebook after the call, and your comments and testimonies are so encouraging. And, you know, I want to say that because it's important that you know nothing happens without the whole kingdom. And you all are what makes this happen. You all are the ones that say, hey, this is worthwhile. And you let me know in so many ways how worthwhile it is. So remember that even when you think of me, you think of Paula Price and you think of Paula Price Show, think, but this woman really gets a kick out of it, and she gets me. She gets me because she wants to. What you go through, what you live is important to God. And I'm here every week, with no charge, no pressure, no anything. I'm here every week because God wants to visit you. He himself decided, I like this, and I want to visit you. Isn't that powerful? So I just had to take a minute to say that. I thank all of everyone who tunes in every week. I've got quite a list of, don't we actually have a list of regulars now? And I love the regulars, you know, because we bonded. But I just want you to know I bond with all of you. So I wanted to say thank you. Ashley, don't you think that was good? Shouldn't we thank our newcomers and our weekly visitors and our new donors? We have new donors.
Yes, we do. And our support base is growing daily. People are reaching back in to us to ask us now every week, how can I support the Paula Price Show? I want to sign up. I want to give a financial donation to make sure that this thing keeps going, but that it grows and that we can reach more and more people. I know we have your faithful supporters and listeners because when I finally do catch them for their prayer requests, they let me know how long they've been listening and waiting to get through.
Oh, I know. And you know, the thing that I appreciate is that they do wait and that they care. And also know that because of how we do the show, many people tell us that they get the answers to their prayer requests while I'm ministering to someone else. I purposely treat each person as if they're in my presence face to face. I don't rush you because I got a line outside. Because you know, no matter how many weeks you call in, when you get your term, you do not want me to rush you off the line either. You want me to take time with you. But I do that because every member of the body of Christ is important. And if they weren't, you know, then they wouldn't be the body of Christ. So every member in the body of Christ is important. And so I all I can say is continue to keep pressing in. Listen, and then go back and listen to the other ones, the previous shows, because maybe your question is answered there. But understand, you're important, but everybody is important. If I take your call, it's important, and I'm not going to rush you just because. I'm not going to add to what God has for you, but I'm also not going to take away from it. So you keep calling because you're important and keep listening and then put it on Facebook. And a couple of people put prayers on Facebook. When you do, I want you to know I have a prayer team. And my prayer team prays for your request. I assign it. We delegate it. My chief prophet, you know Prophet Tala, she keeps that prayer team working. She keeps our prophets working. And she will give them your prayer request. So don't think all is lost. They do pray. And so now she's starting to make them have to give some answers. So don't be surprised if God answers you through those prayer times. So all is not lost. I've done all I know how to do at this point to see to it that I reach as many of you as possible. But understand, even when the show is over, I don't stop praying for you. I carry you in my heart. You wonder, how do I get those answers? Because I carry you in my soul. I get the answers because I literally carry your concerns and carry you in my soul. And when I'm praying, God speaks to me. Sometimes he tells me a particular name. Sometimes he tells me another situation, whatever. But this thing doesn't stop just because I hang up. And I needed you to know that. You're important. Your ministries are important. Your callings, your kids, your education and training, your jobs and careers. Are you kidding? God cares about that. And this is what he told me to tell you today. Because God says, I'm out for you to win. And sometimes we forget. Sometimes we get so caught up in the battle, we forget that God allowed us to enter that battle to teach us how to win, to teach us how to conquer and overcome, and not to walk around talking about, boy, it's hard being a Christian. Excuse me, that is not our God. God wants us to win every battle, and sometimes to win the great battle, the one that counts, we have a little setback, a few little setbacks along the way. We have a few losses, but they're to teach us how to war better, and not always militantly. Sometimes warfare is just endurance. Sometimes warfare is resilience, bounce back, come back. Sometimes warfare is steadfastness. I don't care what it looks like. I know God told me to do this. I know God gave me this project. I know God brought me to this place. I know God gave me this marriage. You know, it's unfortunate that Christian marriages break up at the rate they do because a lot of times you all have no idea that God is working something greater than that. And so, you know, I know God told me to do it. I know that this is the will of God for my life, but then you give it a three-month try, you know, excuse me, you give it a three-month try, you give it a five-week try, you give maybe 3 years, sometimes 2 years, because somehow we all have a expiration date in our minds on everything God assigns us and gives us. We have this mental and emotional expiration date, either, well, if it doesn't happen this way by this time, then I'm out. Or, well, if I don't start feeling something soon, I'm out. But, you know, God doesn't operate like that. God plays to win. And God wins because he never quits. I will say it 100 times. And for those of you who are listening, God wins because he never quits. He never stopped calling you. He never stopped wooing you. He never stopped ministering to you. He never lets you drop him off your mind. He will reinsert himself in your thoughts if you go too long without giving him attention. God wins because he never quits. Because to God, failure is not a sign to quit. So he never takes a failure or a setback as a sign to give up. God wins because he never quits. I have been in this thing all of these years, and the opposition has been insane. But I didn't get in this ministry or stand with the Lord Jesus Christ to be put off by opposition. I got in to achieve his assignment in my life. And until I achieve it, it's not done. And for somebody today, you're sitting on the fence of indecision. You've already told God, if this doesn't happen, I'm out. You've already told him, if I don't start feeling this or seeing this or whatever, I'm out. Those are threats, and those are manipulative threats that don't mean a thing to God. God can tell you about setbacks. He can tell you about disappointment. Come on. He listen. We're always doing something to him. But that is not why he's in it. He's in it to complete what he started. He's in it to get what he wants. And if we're going to be as he is in this world, we need to change a lot of our belief systems and a lot of our values concerning how to conquer all. We start wanting to conquer, and we want to win the first fight. We haven't had a class, haven't had a lesson, didn't go to training. Nobody taught us. Most of us not mentored. We are our own mentors. We're our own trainers. We're our own instructors. We're our own disciplinarians. And we don't want to get out because we don't want anybody to touch our wrong and touch our weak and touch our flaws and touch our faults. I'm telling you, if you are in this thing for the Lord Jesus Christ, and the people who've been calling in on this show have proven that they are, then you play till you win. Now, if you need to regroup, you go back, you regroup, you revamp, you reevaluate. You might need to switch out some people on your playboard. That's okay. But understand, God wins because he doesn't quit. And setbacks and failures and disturbances are not indicators to him that the game is over. It just means there needs to be a game change. And God is saying to some of you all, the game is not over, and it's time for you to change your game. You might need to change your playboard, change your play pieces. You might need to change who you trust. You might need to change your training. You might need to go back to retraining. But take quitting and take opting out of what God gave you to do out of the equation. Stop that. Stop threatening him with quitting. Stop having those tantrums. I'm just going to sit on the side of the road like a six-year-old who didn't win his first game. Come on. We're big people now, and it's time for us to go out, grow up, and take the kingdom. Stop that. Get back in the game. Go and get some counseling. Get some evaluation. Call the Paula Price Show. Get somebody to help you with insight. But stop making quitting your ultimate sign of victory, because that's not it. Some of you all are walking around with failure because you just didn't give it enough time. You didn't give it enough effort. You didn't give it enough finances, maybe devotion, commitment. I'm not sure. But I'm telling you, to whoever you are today, we need to know our God. The Bible says those who know their God will be strong and do great exploits. What does that mean? First the knowledge, then the strength, then the great, then the exploits. Just even exploits, just begin to exploit means, you know, carry out God's ploys in your life, his ploys against your opposition and your adversary. And so as we go forward, you ask me, how do you keep doing it? First of all, I'm not listening to the people who don't like me. I didn't get in ministry to find out to go and serve all the people who hate me. I got in ministry to serve people who like me, who get me, who understand me, who has a need for what I'm saying. You know, Jesus had the same issue. He said, surely you're going to tell me, physician, heal thyself. He's like, are you kidding me? The well don't need a physician. So we're in this together as a team, and I speak to you today encouragingly. I want you to switch how you see doing for God and to switch how you react to opposition. It is unfortunate that we've had so much erroneous teaching to tell us that if it's hard, it's not God. If it's easy, then it's Jesus. If it's hard, it's the devil. And if it's the devil, then God doesn't want you to do it. Are you kidding me? Jesus got baptized by the Holy Ghost, went in the wilderness to meet the devil. It should have been the greatest moment of his life. We get baptized in the Holy Ghost. We go home. We talk in tongues all night. We rejoice. We dance. We read our scripture. We have a great time. He went in and had to go to war. Had to face off with the head of his adversary's army because he's the head of his own. So he had to win that thing in the wilderness. Jesus won that thing in the wilderness before he ever got a following. And many of us sidestepped that wilderness combat. And we went right into gathering the following, utterly unprepared of our enemy's tactics and how he does things and the games he played. He did mind games on him. And God didn't even let him show up until after Jesus was at his weakest point. The guy is starved. He's out in the wilderness with the wild beasts. He got to fight off the wild animals. I mean, this was not a retreat for him. We often act like he went into the wilderness and it was just some solitary sitting on a mountain looking at the elements. That's not what happened to him. It expressly says he was there with a wild beast. So that means before he got the big battle, he had to fight away all that other stuff. He had to deal with their savagery. He's hungry. He's weak. He can't fight them. And he's got to deal with everything in him that would cause him to surrender before the big battle came. But the day of the big battle did come. And the Bible says after he defeated that, the angels came and ministered to him. And what did they do? First of all, they obviously fed him. And then they refreshed him. And then they rebuilt him so that he could go back and conquer in public what he had defeated in private. And it's your private combat with your soul that determine your public conquest. And some of you don't want that private battle. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to get along with God. I don't have time to be bothered. I can't read the scriptures. Oh, my God, they wrote it so complicated. Who can take it? But I want to tell you, this is an encouraging word to death. Go back to your wilderness. Win that private battle. And God guarantees you public victory. Everybody who has to do anything worthwhile for God has got to win that wilderness battle. You've got to go through the wild beast. You've got to go through the hunger. You've got to go through the isolation. You have to go through the dread and the fear. And then you have to face the top of that ministry that you're going to take on. You're going to have to face that top opposer. When you do that, and you do it in your private, God guarantees you an unlimited public success. And many people don't know that. We tell you that if it's not working out the first time, I don't know, it can't be God. Well, if it hasn't happened the third time, can't be God. When I write my story, some of you all will be amazed who don't know me personally. All of the things I had to do to earn the right to sit on this show with you on Thursday and to tell you the things that I know about God and the things that I understand. And Jesus had to win that victory in the wilderness, not just for himself. And as we can see, not just for the people that he was going back to touch, but those angels were watching. They couldn't help him. They couldn't intervene. They had to watch him and cheer him on in secret. There are a lot of people cheering you on that you don't know about that need you to succeed. There are a lot of people in your sphere, family members hoping you make it, relatives hoping you make it, friends, coworkers, hoping you make it, secretly hoping you make it so that somebody can prove to them that it can be done and it can be won. And so my exhortation to you today is to finish your track and do the whole track. You will never defeat your opposition more in public than you've defeated the opposition in private. And the greatest opposition you have is that which is in your soul. And so if you allow God to strengthen your soul, he will establish for you that kingdom stronghold that he promised you when he said, come follow me. So that is my exhortation today, Ashley. Hallelujah.
Wow. I needed that. So I'm glad everybody else is on the line and being blessed, but I certainly needed that myself today. And I know just some of the calls that are waiting for you in the queue, they needed it too. So that was a very on-time word. So many things. I know I'm going to go back and listen to this about quitting and your wilderness experience and your private combat with your soul. I mean, that's, my God, that's rich.
Well, you know, we have the series, Ashley, The Soul of Success.
Yes, we do.
And in that, we talk about, you know, the soul of success, just quickly, that your gifts can put you to the top overnight. Your talent can skyrocket you overnight. You've got that kid that's just singing around on the mic, and suddenly the world, a world power, a world force. But does the kid have the soul to succeed? See, you look at so many of these celebrities, especially actually these young ones, which is your hot button. You have such a passion for the young celebrities. But you look at so many of these young celebrities, and they are there. They've got all of the pressures of a seasoned warrior, of a seasoned conqueror, and not of the soul to hold it. And so immediately when that pressure starts bearing down on their psyche, they have to find a release. So they do reckless things because, well, that part wasn't worked out. Or they go and they turn to drugs because, well, or some other addiction because that wasn't worked out. Because their success, their gifts took them faster than their soul could keep them. And so if you all are interested, you should call the office. I don't even know if it's on the internet, but I'm sure Prophet D is on the line, and she will have a wonderful commercial after my show on the soul of success. Many of you, God held you back not because your gifts couldn't take it, not because your calling wasn't real, not even because your performance wasn't rich. He held you back because your soul needed to sustain the victories that he was giving you. So, it's, you know, how many times have we heard people say, well, wow, before he made it, he was wonderful. Now he's a different person. Well, before she got big, she was this, but now she's that. Soul of success. I'm telling you, your hold up, God is empowering your soul to sustain his success. And if you're there on the line, I want you to just repeat that in your mind with me. God is empowering my soul to sustain my success. And he'll let you have a bunch of insignificant or inconsequential failures just so he can assure that the thing he truly ordained for you is able to be sustained by you, not just by your talents or your giftings, not just charismatically, but also psychologically. And a lot of us are great in our charismata, and we are poor in our soul. And God said he wants that for you. I'm prophesying to you right now. He said, I was never telling you I didn't want you to do it. I never told you I wanted you to fail. I told you to endure. I told you to persevere. I told you to not quit. I told you to get back in the race. I did that for a purpose because I know the enemy that you must defeat to stay there. David had to fight all of that just to prove he could keep a nation. He had to fight all of those nations. Abraham had to fight five nations, because we think about kings, we don't think nations. Five armies, five nations to prove that he could keep the kingdom that God was entrusting to him. God is not punishing you. He's empowering you, and he's empowering you through every step back, through every failure. Every time you get up and don't quit, that's your power, because you now know that you passed that obstacle. And so God wants us to get good at that. You have to understand that it is not your defeat that the Lord is after. And he is not going to just test you with people who love you, because people who love you will not attack you. He's got to test you with people who hate you so that you can conquer the hatred that's in this world. It's real powerful. And you see, Ashley, you can see I'm hot on this, right?
Woo! Yeah, stay hot. Stay hot.
You know, he wants these people to win.
Yeah, and it's the practical thing that we don't get or we don't see. If you're not a fighter, if you haven't been raised in that environment, and especially if you've been a victim of the whole God is love, and that's all he is love, and how can a loving God mess, then you will walk around confused and dazed. And like you said, holding God hostage, well, you think you're holding God hostage, to the threat of quitting. That lets you know how much we really don't know God at all, because that's not how it works.
Well, I pray, and I pray as we go into our call today, I just felt such a need to take time to encourage you all and to teach you how to be a conqueror. We like to say we're more than conquerors. And first of all, I'd like us all to stop being content with chanting and mantras. You know, we don't need mantras and chanting. We have the power of God. And I tell you, if God calls you to a ministry, you're not the only one that has to be made strong in this. You have to be stronger than everybody that God is going to entrust to you so that you can bring them up to the fullness of their strength. That's what more than conqueror means. More than conqueror means I am strong enough to keep me in anything God entrusts to me. That's what it means. It means you've conquered the conquerors. And that you are a developer of conquerors. In other words, you have to be strong enough that when God sends people to you, they know you can keep what God is entrusting to them, including their faith and their hope and their talent and their gifts. And it's important that you know that. A lot of times you pick mentors who have not been in a good fight, and then you wonder why nothing has happened. Or you pick leaders who have had it all the way through on easy street, and then you wonder why they fall as soon as you start getting hold of the thing. Soul of success. That's a powerful phrase. And that's going to be a catchphrase in the future. You watch, because you're going to start saying, but does so-and-so have the soul of success? I know he's gifted. I know she's talented. I know they can sing. Oh, my gosh, they can dance. Oh, then he can pray and prophesy. But does he have the soul of success? Because if you have the soul of success, you won't pervert the very thing you pursued. And that's how you know when a person doesn't have the soul of success, because they intend to pervert or they helplessly pervert the very thing that they once admired and chased. So anyway, Ashley, I'm going to have to shut up because, you know this is a hot button for me, so you know where I'm at, right? I can hold a whole four-week seminar right on this, just the soul of success. I can just say, okay, guys, we're going to have a great seminar, soul of success, join in, because I'm telling you, that's why we're disappointed in ministers, because they were promoted on charismata, but their souls did not have the stuff, the grit that it took to succeed. And so when the pressures came on, they either quit or they changed the rules or they dropped the bar or they just replaced somebody else. They hid in the background, put a face out front. It doesn't matter. Whatever the reason. And so I would say to those of you today, and I know you need to come back and listen to this because I put out a lot of information, but I felt in my heart that a lot of what we're talking about and a lot of what we cover on this call has to do with God building your soul to sustain his success. If you believe in God for your success, then you need to believe he knows what it takes to help you get there and stay there. Hallelujah. Okay, so Ashley, where do we go now? You're not have to cut off because you're not flowing.
Yeah, we just need to go to the line. We just need to get somebody who needs prayer.
That's where I'm at. I'm like, give me a call. Somebody. Hallelujah.
Okay. On the call today, first up we have Thais, and Thais is from Oregon. And she is calling in because she's having some pain in her body and would like some prayer about that. Thais, welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Hello, Thais. How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Well, you know where I'm at. You can hear me. I'm on fire, right?
Yes, you are. I thank you for your word this morning.
It's my honor and my privilege. I tell you, I am so excited about helping God's people and just really all of us just taking it by force. How can I bless you today?
I just want you to be in agreement with me that my body just lined up in the order that God designed it to be.
Wow. Now, listen, are you taking care of your body?
I have off and on. I had surgery about a couple of years ago, and each year something different goes wrong. And this year I'm just having a lot of problem with my feet and my legs, a lot of aching.
Yeah. Well, you know, I would tell you this, a couple of things, sweetheart. I'm going to pray for it, but I've had that same situation, and truly I found out you have to change your diet.
Mm-hmm.
You have to. I mean, that's what I found out, and I've not been 100% successful, but I have systematically been working toward that end. And I just feel that God wants you to change your diet, and I don't know if you know how to ride a bike, but he tells me you need to ride a bike. and because you need to pump some energy in your legs. Now, I don't know how that works for you, but that's just what he says. And so those are a couple of things that will help you because of this. God said this is like a genetic thing that passed down in your family line. And so you want to get some nutritional help. Get some nutritional guidance. And then and the next thing is you want to do, you know, I would kind of say walking, but he just showed me you riding a bike. So I'm going to pray that God puts that in your soul, and it might be just a stationary bike at your house or at the gym, but whatever that is, God's going to, he wants to strengthen you. I recently, and I can speak from experience, I recently have come back from severe low extremity issues, and I was, you know, I'm stubborn, so I wasn't giving up, and so I pushed and pushed and found just the right combination for myself so that I no longer have that, but I knew I started paying attention to when it flared up the most and all of that. So my two things are that I pray for you to find the best holistic doctor or therapist you can and to really walk you through it because I know that discomfort, and it is not fun. It is just not fun at all. So I'm going to pray, and then you're going to let me know in about 3 weeks how you're doing because I want to know because I care, okay?
Okay.
All right. Father, thank you. Thank you for this wonderful woman in your kingdom, this daughter in your house. Lord, this Dorcas who has so many abilities that are just getting suffocated by her setbacks and by the things that she cannot conquer in her flesh. I'm asking that you connect her in her region with the people that you have ordained and prepared to hear her issues in a new light, not those that are so familiar that they can't even hear it, but that they would hear it in a new light, that you would give her health and strength in her body, that you would take out of her being, God, mercifully, take out of her being everything, every appetite that contributes to this and switch her appetite so that she craves what will make her whole. And, God, that you would give her a circle of friends to work this out with physically. God, I thank you for her. She's got such a rich future and a rich life, Lord. I'm asking that you step in as our Father, as our sovereign Lord, and take over this malady for her and to heal her. I speak to the body. I speak to every facet of your makeup, and I align you with creative design. Now, God, I'm asking, I dispatch the appetites that will make her whole. I dispatch the activities and habits that will make her whole. I command wholeness to come into your flesh. I speak recovery to your being from the inside out and from the head to the toe. In Jesus' name, let it be. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Okay, I want to hear from you, beloved.
I will call. This is my third time calling in and my first time on the line. So,
you know what your day. See that?
Yes.
Well, listen, don't forget Facebook because I am there, and every now and then I do personally go there.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome. God bless. Prophet Ashley.
Yes. Need that healing. Speaking of your Facebook, let's see, one of your Facebook friends, Deborah's Scribal Commander, she's on the line. She said, awesome. Do you have the soul to succeed? Woo! So that just blessed her life right there.
Well, you know, I read her posts. So, Deborah, and if you're on the line, I read them. I enjoy your entries. They are very good. So thank you very much for connecting. Do I have another caller?
Oh, you always have another caller. Now on the line is Lisa from Connecticut. Welcome, Lisa. She would like prayer for her fragmented family and also for some dreams and visions that she's having.
Well, hello, Lisa from Connecticut. How are you doing?
I'm fine, Dr. Price.
Great. Now, have we talked before, Lisa?
Yes, we have.
I thought so. I remember, because you have a special ring to your voice, almost as if you should be singing. So, but do you, now, Lisa, I want to ask you a question. We're going to take care of your thing. But are you into like Psalms and poetry?
I write poetry. Yes, I write poetry.
Baby, that is your call. You need to allow God. Listen, God says to tell you, you know, the Holy Spirit has been waiting for you to get through on this subject today. But God says to tell you, spend 3 days in his presence fasting and praying. He will tell you the kind of fast. He said, but spend 3 days in his presence because he's going to download a new ministry for you. Now, I know that you didn't say you sing, but I'm telling you, music ministry is somehow in your anointing. Now, whether it's music that goes with your poetry or what. In addition, I hear dance or drama around you. You are a very artistic soul. And so the Holy Spirit is saying to you, a lot of your frustrations is because all of that stuff is backing up in your soul.
Okay.
Hallelujah. Are you still there?
Yes, I'm here. I received that.
Okay. Well, you have to do it. If you have a mentor, I don't want to know who, because, you know, we don't do a lot of names on here. I have to tell the saints. But whoever your mentor is, go to your mentor or after your 3 days, and because if that mentor is clicking with God, God's going to tell them what to do with you. You cannot get lost any longer in this thing. Your search and journey has been too long, and you've been wandering and fumbling too long. So God wants you to do this fast so he can begin to reprogram you and reset you for the things that he wants to do. And in that time, he said, read your Bible.
Mm-hmm.
He said all of it, not just your favorite passage. Read it, because you, in order for you to be a powerful poet in the kingdom, you at least have to know the Psalms.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's the minimum. That's not even the top. So I hear him saying that, and he said, tell you to focus on the 119th Psalm. It's one of the longest ones. Whenever I train prophets, I make them know that Psalm.
Okay.
So focus on the 119th Psalm. Now, Lisa, tell me why you called.
I called for prayer for my family. It's really fragmented, and it's got even worse since my parents died, and also clarity and revelation and visions and dreams.
Okay. Now, when did your parents die?
My mom died in 2011, and my dad died 6 months later in 2012.
So your family is pretty much struggling with an orphan spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Are you all together to go to church?
They don't all talk to me.
They don't talk to you? Who's the oldest?
My oldest sister.
Okay. So I'm gonna pray for your family, because when that happens, it's a sudden breach. It's like, you know, parents, even if they aren't always in the best of health, as long as they're in the planet, they create a covering over their children, no matter how old they are. That is established since way back in antiquity. That's how it's supposed to go. So what happened is, with your parents abruptly leaving and there's nobody to step into that place of protection and covering, all of the things that they were containing and shielding are now free to get through. And so, and of course, you miss the council or the whatever, you miss all of that. So I'm going to pray for that, because that's very important. And then I'm going to pray for the sadness in your soul, because a lot of those dreams have to do with your soul is just broken. You're just tired, and your soul is broken, and you're confused. That's why I think it's just wonderful that we got through today, because you definitely have to have a strong mentor. Do you have a mentor?
I don't have my own mentor, but I am I have my apostle at my church.
Okay, well, hey, that ought to be more than sufficient, because then your apostle needs to, you need to let them be known that you're not dealing with this as well as you thought you were. And that part of that is your dream. You know, you have been through, beloved, and this has not been a good season for you or your family. But I will tell you right now, I'm going to pray for your family, and I'm going to have you put them on the altar, because you need God to work with you right now. You can't even be a strength for them. And I'm praying for you to get the kind of mentorship, and for you to submit to it, because you don't trust a lot, but for you to submit to the kind of mentorship that will enable you to go forward in God, but also to be transformed. When God excavates our soul, it's because he wants to give you more of his own. God never devastates your soul without a reason. He devastates us because he wants to replace all of us that wasn't working with the parts of him that worked better. And so he wants you to do that. I want you to do this fast. I got to tell you, God has such great plans for you, such rich plans, but you're going to have to play in his court his way. The other thing I hear God saying is that a lot of the things that he wants to do for you are the things you asked him to do long time ago. And so you're about to have a major visitation where he presents these to you. You want to be ready to take them on, Lisa, and you want to know that it is God. And so you've got a lot of confusion and stuff that's going on. I'm going to pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for Lisa. Lord, we together thank you for you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for your holiness and your righteousness. We thank you for your strength and your power. Now, God, I lift up this family to you. First of all, Lord, I'm asking that you would send in one of your own coverings over this family. Let it be if the sister's the one, then, God, I ask that you would redeem her and change her and baptize her that she can cover this family with the love and protection that you want for it. That's the first thing I ask. I ask, God, that the sorrow that they're all feeling because they're just brokenhearted, I'm asking that you would send forth your healing balm and comfort their souls, God, because this is hard on them. And I'm asking that you would comfort their souls, each and every one of them, individually and collectively. I'm asking that you would do what it takes to, God, to bring them together, to cause them to trust again and to feel again in Jesus' name. Lord, I'm asking that each and every one of them gets an opportunity. No, I'm not even going to say that. I'm asking that you save each and every one of them by your Holy Spirit, that you deliver them from sorrow and deliver them from grief and unbelief that goes along with them, and God, save them for your kingdom, that they can come together and be a family under your love and under your protection. So, Jesus, I'm asking that you would reach out your loving arms and gather them as a father, bring them to your heart, and God, begin to mend them and to keep them in you, in Jesus' name. And, Lord, I thank you for Lisa. I'm asking that you would get her. She needs a closer mentor. Right now she needs somebody that she can just process this out with, someone that she can talk to, someone that she can cry with, someone who gets in there with her to help her be made whole. I'm asking, God, that you would put that person in her life, that it's a trustworthy soul, that she can be as free as she needs to be in this time of sorrow and grief. I'm asking that you would bring her soul back online bit by bit as you heal her and make her new. And I bless you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Now, Lisa, if it is possible, and if you have to clear it with your church leaders, please do so. But you do need to get on one of our advisor programs to get you through this. You need somebody to help you get through this right now. You need a sounding board. You need somebody that's going to pray with you. And if you feel like picking up the phone and crying, you can cry, and it's private. So you need that. And if your leaders agree, if you have to run it past them, because I never know, you know, what it is in churches, because it's kind of funny. We go to doctors without asking our pastors. We go to therapists and whatever. But, you know, then we have different reels for something else. But if you are free, you need to do that, baby. You are not coming through this as easy as you think you are. And because you're historically strong and you have a real stalwart personality, it seems like you're making it because you're getting up every day, putting one foot in front of the other, but it's not happening for you.
Okay.
So you, whatever it is, you seek God. The first thing I want you to do is that fast, and I want you to do it the way he says. Now, if he doesn't tell you to do a full one, then don't do a full one. You do what he says. If you need somebody to talk with you today, you can call my office. You know the number. You said we've talked before, right? So you can call again, 877-419-1299, and I want you to ask for Chief Prophet Tala, and she's going to pray with you and help you get through this. Baby, you have to get somebody to help you walk this out.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, my beloved. Stay in touch with me. Don't you fall off this pit.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. God bless.
Great.
Ashley.
Wow.
Oh,
Go ahead.
I pray she calls. Ashley, I really pray she calls because she's, you know, because we have to be strong in the Lord, and we know that God has our loved ones, and we know that God is, you know, there in heaven. Nobody tells us, but we still miss them here on earth. We still grieve them. You know, we still miss the sound of their voice or the thought of them being in the planet, and we need somebody to help us get through. So I hope that God puts it on her to call. Hope she does get on that advisement, because God, he loves this woman. He loves this family. That those parents must have prayed a mighty prayer over their kids before they left, because as I was praying for her, I felt the parents' prayer and asking God to keep that family. And I'm telling you, he's faithful, because as I was praying, I saw Jesus step out of anonymity and grab the whole family in his arms and put them in his chest. So they're going to be all right. Isn't that great to know?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And that, I mean, it just teaches you the value of prayer on both sides, being the on the receiving end and then being the one who is praying over and realizing and knowing that God will be faithful to those prayers even after you are gone. And that's the difference between people being lost forever after a loss like that in this kind of situation where God steps up in a very supernatural way, which is even through flesh, but in a supernatural way to say, I'm on it, I have you covered, and this is how you're going to get back on track.
Oh, I tell you, it's a blessing. And I tell you, we're going to be fine. And I would encourage all of my Facebook followers and my Paula Price callers to let's just keep this family up. This family means a lot to the Lord, and he has great plans for them. And sometimes we forget that destiny is on family. It's not just on individuals. Destiny is on family. So I'm glad that's working out for her. I know that she has a strong apostle that's going to help her. And sometimes, though, we have to, you know, we have to know when to grieve and when to stand and then how to grieve. And I think that, especially in the charismatic church, we don't allow people to grieve because we keep saying, oh, they got a home going. Oh, it's a joyful time for them to rejoice going home. Well, maybe for you it was joyful. For someone else, it's a deep loss. It's a deep gulf in their soul, a deep gash. And so, you know, the Bible said rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. We don't even get to the weep part. Everybody got to rejoice. I've been in funerals where the family is torn up, and you've got this music. Everybody got this crazy pumped-up music. Well, no, we're supposed to have joy, so let's just have – are you kidding? Does anybody notice these people are falling apart right here in front? And the plastic smile, well, I know they're home with the Lord. That's great. But we still, you're still here, so we have to help you get through their leaving and going to be with the Lord. And so I tell you, these situations are very near and dear to my heart, because I'm thinking, these people are suffering. Can we help them get through the process? And that is a big thing for me. I know we have a lot of, I know by my Facebook and my LinkedIn, we have a lot of counselors and coaches and psychologists that call in or come back on and listen to the show. I pray for them. I bless them to have the wisdom of God, and I bless God to continue to empower those people, because they have a real perspective. The soul is a real entity. If a person got cut in the natural, we would quickly take them to the hospital, get them stitched up, give a little antiseptic, tell them how to change the bandages, how to get some treatment. People take soul blows, and we tell them, get up and move on. That is not always the easiest thing to do. They, too, need to have some prescriptions. So I just pray for you all who need that. If you find yourself a good godly counselor, a good godly psychologist, a coach or something like that, hey, connect. Make sure they're godly, because a lot of them have a good bit of that New Age stuff. But there are some out there that just say, it's Jesus, and that's all I know. Find those, because they are blessed of the King. They are the other, what I call the secret healers of the kingdom. And so I thank God for that. Who we got on the line, Ashley?
Well, that was powerful. First of all, I just have to say.
I always do that to Nona.
You try. You try and just mow me down, but that's okay.
I always do that. And I'm like, okay, Ashley, did you have any feedback?
I just have a comment from your Facebook. Apostle Rick Kendall said, hi, Dr. Price. I just wanted to let you know the blog radio program was great today, and I stayed on the phone line as long as I could, but he had to go and handle some other business. He said, I'm so thankful for your tenacity and perseverance through so many obstacles to become such a solid voice for God's kingdom in this day and hour. God bless you, my friend, Dr. Rick Kendall.
Oh, bless him. He is a dear friend of mine and a longtime friend. We absolutely love Dr. Apostle Rick Kendall. That's great. You know, I'd like you to do that because, Ashley, we have good friends out there, and I want all my friends to meet my friends.
Indeed.
I know. It's not great. I do. So now, am I mowing you over? Did you come? You know, I'm going to give you your 30-second window. Okay, are you ready?
No, I'm ready to move on to the next caller.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay, we have on the line now Angela. Let me see here. Angela from Iowa. She's calling because she had a question about a double rainbow. She says she and her husband had gone through an experience. She's going to tell you. And so Angela from Iowa, welcome to the call.
Yes, hello. Thank you very much. Thank you, Dr. Price, for the encouragement on the line. God bless you.
Oh, thank you and bless you. I'm glad you called. Now, Angela, is this your first time calling us?
It is my first time getting through. I've been on a few times just listening and what have you, being a part of praying for people, et cetera. But this is my first time getting through talking to you, yes.
Well, I'm excited, so then let's talk.
Yes, ma'am, let's do that. My husband and I, we ministered at an event the other year. It was a prophetic summit, and we received a very life-changing word where we were told that God was shifting us territorially, that our ministry was going to shift to another territory, and where we were at was too slow for the word that was in our mouth. On our drive home from that time of ministry, as we were coming back into Iowa, we saw double rainbows as we hit our city. And as we pulled up to our home, the bowl was over our house. We take the second dimension of prophecy very seriously, so we began to strategize and organize for this year, and we planned ministry events in other territories just to begin to get moving and get started. This week, we went into those territories, and as we were coming home, one of them was Los Angeles, California. As we were coming home and driving, we hit the Utah area, and I saw another set of double rainbows in the Utah area as we were driving back home. Then when we hit Nebraska, on the second day of our drive coming back to Iowa, I saw two double rainbows again in the state of Nebraska. I do have your prophet's dictionary, so I was able to glean some of the basic, fundamental, superficial understanding. But I'm wondering more specifically, perhaps, what God might be saying to us through this. And I know that God has just blessed you and you're super intelligent in him, so I'm hoping you can tell me something.
Well, the first thing I have to say is congratulations, because you and your husband are well on your way to an amazing, amazing time of service in the Lord. So my first answer to you is congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay. So altogether, you're telling me you saw six rainbows?
Yes, ma'am.
Or was it eight? Six or eight? Would you say?
Three sets of double rainbows. So that would be six.
So you saw six. So that's telling you that God is giving you an amazing covenant with mankind. God is going to use you first of all, you're going to have a minimum of six regions. That's going to happen. But where you are, God is not just giving. See, here's the thing I want you to get. You're not just getting just the spiritual side. God is covenanting spiritual and natural in those areas. So you've got the spiritual covenant. Hey, God called us. God wants us to do this. It's going to be great, but you have a natural, or what Jesus is calling right now, a material covering. Obviously, money and material provisions are a big concern to you. You all seem like you've come from a very rough beginning, and you don't want to go back. So you're walking out on water. You like Peter getting out the boat. Okay, God, and I'm going to walk out this boat, but you got me? Hey, God, do you got me, Jesus? You got me? Okay, and so you all are there. I'm obeying God. God had to do that because in your mind you are so resolved. You made a soul vow. I am never going to put my family at risk like that again. I'm not going to drive us into poverty. We got out. We are finally seeing that some daylight. We're feeling good about our lives. It's not perfect, but hey, we're secure. So for you, God is saying your security is in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And your security is going to come from obedience. But this is not one of those things. See, you're at a point, I'll serve God, but Lord, I don't want to go back to all those trials and tribulations. And he let you know, in covenant, you are not going to suffer what you think you're going to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to lack what you think you're going to lack.
Okay.
And God is not, he's telling you wherever you go, he's covenanted with that land to take care of you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
To feed you and to protect you. So you've got three things. You've got the care, you've got feeding, and you've got protection. So understand, if I put it under one word, you have a double covenant, a providential covenant. Providence is waiting for you wherever you go.
Amen.
And so it's going to be a good thing. And you and your husband can rest on that, because I know by just going into your book right now, I'm looking, you guys have come a long way, and it has not been an easy walk. You've had to do a lot of sacrificing, a lot of setback, and talking about even the meanness of people. You've had to, some things that you lost just because people were mean. You felt with treachery. You dealt with it all. And you're like, but God, yet we love you.
Yes.
And yet we're going to do it. So God is giving you that. And you're going to, everywhere you go, because you see the three, everywhere you go, God is in the midst of it. And he said, I'm taking care of you this time. You also have a ministry that you watch that did everything right and still didn't turn out well. So you are not excited about this in your flesh. You're enthusiastic in the spirit, but in your flesh, you're terrified. And God is cutting covenant with you, that what happened to them is not your destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad you called, because I get a chance to feel it. Isn't that powerful?
Amen.
I love it. I get a chance to feel it. We're going forward. You're going to be victorious. Now, I'm telling you, this word, when I'm done, I need you to go back to my blog talk site, download this thing so that you all can play this, because I'm telling you, That thing that you have, because even in your dreams, and you're trying so hard to be a big girl about it, and you and your husband are trying to be positive, won't even say anything negative because you don't want to mess with God. So you can't even honestly say, hey, babe, I am scared. You can't? I'm scared. All right. We don't know how this is going to turn out. Who's going to buy the house? Who's going to buy the wagon? What are we going to do, God? How are we going to do it? So the Holy Ghost wants you to know that's not your future. And he wanted you to have a visual sign, because you have had a lot of private interactions between you and God, and you've had, dreams, visions. You've had it all. But you told God, God, I need to see something.
Yes.
And so when you say to God, I need to see something, you're going to see a bunch of something. Now, I'm going to tell you about the word of the Lord. Jesus Christ, who is calling you into his service, is thrilled about this. He
Amen.
Is thrilled. He said, I've already set it up, and you're going to go fine. And he said, you're going to go out according to an Abrahamic covenant. Wherever you go, you're going to add to.
Amen.
So y'all can sleep good tonight. How's that?
Amen.
You can sleep real good. Because, guys, you guys were really giving God a fit on this. And it was so sweet, because you were trying to be nice about it. We're trying to be happy, God. We're trying to be obedient. But, God, this is a big deal. This is a real big deal, Lord.
Yeah.
So now you're coming into the hole. It's going to be good for you. I promise you that this is not going to go the way you think, and you can rejoice in God. So, Father, I thank you.
Thank
you for this couple. I thank you for their obedience, their love for you, their attention to you, and their attention to your details. They're very meticulous when it comes to serving you, God, and when it comes to obeying you. So, God, I thank you for their attention to detail. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you stepped out of anonymity and obscurity in their lives and have stepped up personally. Lord, I thank you for the visitations. They're about to have enormous visitations. And, Lord, I thank you for watching over every word they speak in you, every effort, every ministry, every action. God, I thank you for doing it and giving them the double portion on every side. God, I thank you that it's double and double and double. And what Satan meant for evil in their past, you used as a bankroll for the good. And so, God, I thank you that you stockpile so many blessings in you, that this is the time.
Thank you, Lord.
I thank you that, God, this is the time for them to reap. And they sowed in tears, but God, they are reaping a mighty harvest because of their faithfulness, even the sacrifice that they've done for other ministers that did not even pan out the way it should. I thank you, Lord, that you've used it all as a kingdom stockpile, and that now they're going to go out with fullness, and, Lord, that you're going to meet them everywhere they go. I thank you for the angels that are waiting for them to arrive, and I thank you, Lord, for the ministers that are waiting to receive them, and for the followers that are waiting to follow them.
Thank you.
And we bless this thing, and we seal it to performance, and we seal it to quick fruition. We bind delay. We bind procrastination and hesitation.
Yes,
God, I thank you that you immediately connect them with that which you prepared for them before the foundation of the world. Let it be so. Let it done, and let it be now in Jesus'
yes.
name.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God. Thank you so much, Dr. Price.
You're very welcome, my beloved. Now, listen, you're going to let me know how good it gets, because I know I'm going to get nothing but good testimonies out of you.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, let me know how good it's going to get for you.
Yes, ma'am.
God bless.
Thank you. God bless you.
Woo! Ashley.
Are you all right.
You know, God is in a mood with that couple. You know that? He's not only in a mood, he's on the move. Isn't that great?
Yes, that's a prayer that I felt a whole bunch of people latching on to.
But if they know the Lord, they ought to suck it up.
That's right. The power of God starts flowing. Talk about yes for me.
Hallelujah. Well, you know, today I've just had a real day to intercede for the saints, you know? And I mean, because God, whatever he set up for today, this was the day to be on the call, because God is definitely pouring out ministerial blessings and kingdom provisions. Like, this providence, kingdom providence is over us today. And God, ikote kanda repeke su de et turino masatarabasa. But I feel the Lord saying kingdom providence, the king's providence. He's opening up even his private stock, his private treasury, his private inventory, his private arsenal. For us, we're even coming into an armory today to get new weapons of war and instructions for the new warfare. This is a day, my God, this is a day that we should be on the line. I'm telling you, God is pouring it out today. If I don't get to you today, you better grab a hold of this thing, because God is in a mood today. This is a restoration move of God, and it's not just restoration. I'm going to put you back where you are, but it's restoration for acceleration. And God's getting ready to move us like lightning through the kingdom. Hallelujah. You know, I'm blessed. Actually, we need a break somewhere. Don't you have something?
Yeah. And we're about to take one. It's the top of the hour. We're going to have some announcements. You're going to hear about what people are saying about the Paula Price Show, and we'll be right back.
Amen.
Welcome to PPM Global Resources, your one-stop ministry resource company. Whether ministry, professional, or personal, our products cover a diverse range of subjects, topics, and ministry issues that hit the center of where you are. If God has called you to it, we want to help you do it. Explore the possibilities to conquer your world. Where are you going today? Ready to launch your own ministry? Want to develop a ministry training program? Looking for credible ministry education? You want guidance or direction? Maybe you just want to discover who you are. If you are a purpose seeker, looking for fresh resources, new ministry solutions, and endless possibilities, then welcome to PPM Global Resources, a ministry and professional resources company dedicated to meeting the needs of the 21st century minister. Why choose PPM Global? Because you want something better. We help build your vision, educate you in your calling, train you to succeed, teach you valuable skills, equip you to achieve, release you to conquer your world. Our business is your interests, whether ministry, professional, or personal. Our products cover a diverse range of subjects, topics, and ministry issues that hit the center of where you are. Think of us as your personal vision support team. If God has called you to it, we want to help you do it. Your success is our passion. Check us out online or contact us at 877-649-PPMG.
Would you like to take the guesswork out of discovering your calling and purpose by using one simple tool? PPM Global Resources Ministry Assessment Questionnaire offers a variety of solutions for all aspects of the ministry spectrum for people just like you who are seeking sound wisdom, direction, and guidance to help you get into your place. The Ministry Assessment Questionnaire is specially designed to identify and assess what God has put in you, whether you are called to a fivefold office or ministry gifting. Going beyond a personality test or gift survey, you'll learn about your strengths and weaknesses, emotional intelligence, ministry readiness and reliability, leadership capability, the right education you need, and so much more. Your ministry assessment questionnaire comes with a 30-minute advisement session to review your assessment with one of our trained advisors, who will walk you through your results and customize the best plan of action for you. To get started now, go to ppmglobalresources.com and fill out your personal profile. Assess, advise, apply, achieve. If God has called you to it, we want to help you do it.
Hi, Stacy. How are you doing, girl?
I'm feeling so empowered from your words that you just gave, so I'm almost feeling kind of repentant for even calling in. I feel like now I'm whining and complaining.
Well, you know what? You may be and you may not be, but let's talk it through anyway.
Person, I'm just so glad to be connected to you again. I just love listening to you guys. Oh my God, you guys are such a blessing. Even Prophet Ashley, when I listen to the two of you guys kind of spring off of each other, it is so empowering to your listeners because of the prophetic insight. I get so much insight just listening to you guys, and I'm like the lady that just got off the line. I almost feel repentant myself because it's like, oh my God, I hope I'm not whining and complaining, but I heard so much just you talking to this lady. One of the things that is
it is, you know, God is kicking us up. You know, every week we like, okay, Jesus, what are you gonna do next? And I know a lot of our callers realize that we're just moving by with the Holy Ghost. You know, He's telling us, He's picking the calls and all of that, and giving the counsel. And I praise Him for it. My passion is Jesus the Christ, and that He gets what He gave His life for. If I can do that in my life, then my whole existence would be fulfilled.
May I just interject that for all of your listeners and for those who may listen later on the recording, I have taken your assessment. So I have to tell people it is crucial that you do that for yourself, that you invest in yourself to find out what God has placed in you, and that it is completely worth it. It is not just, you know, grandma's old spiritual gifts test, so to speak. It is in-depth. It is, oh my goodness, multiple layers, and it just opens you up to what God has placed in there. And then when you get the advisement on, now what do you do in terms of steps? So that's my promo.
God bless you, Dr. Price.
God bless you, Prophet Tina. I'm glad to hear from you. How are you doing?
I'm good, and you?
Well, you can hear I'm on fire today, so you make a really good day to call. I'm charged today. I'm almost like, can I do this 5 more hours? I am good to go.
Yes, you are. Truly are.
Okay. Prophet Ashley.
See, this is why we do. This is what you do. The Paula Price Show. Touching my just like that. I'm telling you, you just, I mean, only God knows where people really are.
Yeah.
And He knows why they are, where they are, and where they are. So that's extraordinary, extraordinarily touching. Welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Well, I'm glad you invited me, Ashley.
Welcome back to your show, Dr. Price. That's just a recap of some hot moments on your show.
Well, you know, I'm glad you invited me, Ashley.
Yes. You're always invited.
You know what? You always give me the first call. Do you know, every week you make me the first call.
I try first apostles, Dr. Price, you know.
That's right. Stay scriptural, girl. Stay scriptural.
That's right.
Okay.
I'm not my word.
Huh?
I said I'll hide behind the word.
Yeah, and you know what? They think you do that just for Thursdays. I can tell them you do that all the time. That's what, you know, like I'm playing safe. I'm a savior. You know, I'm hiding behind the Lord's skirt. I'm hiding behind the word.
That's right.
Hey, listen, who do I have on next? I'm ready to take another caller.
Okay, you have Jora from Maryland, and she is calling today just for some prayer and to see what the Lord would say. Jora, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Dr. Price.
Well, good afternoon, Jora. Now, tell me, how do you spell that? You know, it's an interesting name.
It's J-O-R-A-H, and it's actually in the book of Ezra.
All right. I'm happy about that. So that means you already have an identity as a builder. So God wants you in a building program. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
That's right. He needs you to start building the kingdom instead of just wondering why. You have written enough plans. You've written enough. You laid it out enough. You sketched it out enough, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, but just go implement. The Lord's word to you is implement, implement, implement.
Yes, ma'am.
See, now that wasn't that easy? Was that easy or what?
Yes, ma'am.
You have a true spirit of a builder and a founder. You have a pioneer spirit. And God says, I need you to break ground.
Yes, ma'am.
So, are you ready to break ground?
Yes, ma'am.
Now it's your turn. I gave you my part. Now you want to give me yours?
Well, actually, I did start breaking ground just last month. I did release the ministry that the Lord would have me to release, my own personal ministry. And it's doing exactly that. It's beginning to break ground.
Well, listen, you're going to have a great time. This has been a difficult season. I don't know how old you are or how whatever, mm-hmm. but I do know that for the last 30 years in your life, whether that's childhood or not, I don't know, but you have been prepared for such a time as this. You have been through an Esther experience where God has been purging and perfuming and purging and perfuming and purging and perfuming you.
Yes, ma'am.
For the sweetness, because you have to, where you are, sweetness is going to be the way to go. You're going to have to be sweet. Now, you are strong, and you know all of those things, but God says, this thing, you're going to work with perfume.
Jesus, bless God.
And it's just to be sweet, because for you, you're strong, your presence is strong, you emit a strong presence, and so people have to know that strength and sweetness can come out of the same bottle.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I hear God saying for you, that you're going to definitely have to perfect sweetness. That means communications, that means even in your instructions, even in your chastening and your discipline, you're going to have to manifest that because the people that you're coming to cannot take another heavy hand of abuse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that's his word for you today. Do you want me to pray now?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Father, thank you so much for Jora. Thank you, God, for her call today. And I thank you that you began to make full proof of her ministry, that you have her getting ready to go forward. God, I see her as a polished arrow going into the heart of the enemy's camp and then splitting off and going into the souls of those that you want to pull back into your house. Lord, I see her going to the wayward, but also the floundering and the fumbling and the lost who just were following bad advice, who were just under poor or inadequate leadership. God, I thank you that you give her wisdom. Now, I'm releasing her prophetic tongue. I'm releasing her ability to speak the right words in season, God, that she can bring your people into your fold, into your covering. I thank you, Lord, for putting the wisdom in her understanding. She's got a few mixed up things, but we're going to settle that so that she can refine that message into the thing you want her to say. God, I thank you for building her up inwardly, emotionally, as well as psychologically for the thing you called her to do, and God giving her that anointing, that cloak of the mother of Zion that she can suffer those that you bring to her in the holy name of Jesus. And I praise you for it, Father. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Price.
All right. Now, listen, hey, Jora, did you take my assessment yet?
No, ma'am.
So you're going to do that, right?
I'm actually under a mentorship program.
Uh-huh. Well, no, I wasn't asking you to be mentored.
Mm-hmm.
This okay? I don't listen. I have enough mentees. Right. Let me just tell everybody on the line. When I ask you, I have a lot to do, so I'm not sitting here poaching somebody else's kingdom. I'm saying each and every one of us needs to know how God built us, and so that we can work the gifts of God and the talents of God in us on purpose. So that was an invitation for you to refine what it is God has called you to do.
Okay.
All right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. That's a recommendation. It's not an obligation.
Right. I understand. Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
All right. God bless you, baby.
God bless you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hallelujah. Ashley, isn't God a good God?
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And that's a good clarification that because you take an assessment doesn't mean you have to migrate from what you are doing.
Yeah. Well, you know, the funny thing about the church is that we, you know, overall, and I'm just saying the institution called the ministry has been so competitive and so irresponsible that we have just been, people have been programmed to think, okay, well, if I like Paula Price, then I can't like my pastor. That's nonsense. I like your pastor. There you go. Now we're all on the record together. It is not about that for me. Now, because I feel like if God has given you a leader or a mentor, he's given you what fits you for the moment. Now, that person may not fit you all your life, but he gives you that for the moment. But in our, listen, in the secular world, you have teachers, you have employers, you have counselors, you have insurance agents, you have doctors, you have attorneys, you have professionals of all kinds. Nobody is pulling from the other. Everybody is just adding to your life. And so I would pray that the body of Christ thinks larger. But if you're going to go on record saying anything about me, I don't poach. I don't have to. I'm really busy, and I have a whole lot that I want to give the kingdom. But I do want each and every one of you to realize that if you got a job and somebody said, hey, you know what, in order to take this job, you need to take our assessment, or we need to know what we're working with or who we are, you go on and do it. But we have because if we've been so unethical in ministry in so many ways that, you know, the body can't even benefit from all that the king has because we have to, you know, it's unethical. That's all the word I can say. So I want you to understand, I'm going to continue to tell you to take it because this tool works. It works around the world. I don't mentor everybody who takes it. We've got hundreds and hundreds of assessees, and I don't mentor all of them. We don't even try to. If you take the assessment as an organization, we leave you with your leader. But all we're saying is that you can know more of who you are. Do you know how many people enter ministry and fail in the first year, fail in the first 5 years? What if you could avoid that? Because ministry is a life-encompassing endeavor, and you have to make sure that you're in the place God wants you to be. And so this is just one way of doing it. It's not the only way, but it is one way. But I want to go on record so every leader out there can hear me, every apostle and prophet. I am not trying to do anything but augment and supplement the abilities that God has given you and giving you hard data, insight into the lively stones that the Lord is entrusting into your care. That is my goal. And so I rejoice in God for it. It's a great tool, but I just want everybody on my call to hear that so that we're all clear. Now, Ashley, how are we doing with my Facebook? Do we have any more? Yeah, I love my Facebook, folks.
Let me click here. But it's true that even some ministers that you're connected with, actually many of them send their people through the assessment process every time they want to put somebody in a new position, just to make sure they're compatible with that position, to make sure they're in the right thing. We have ministries who are opening up new departments, and everyone that they have involved with that, they're sending through the assessment process. And so it's, again, your vision of having the leaders in control and also the people feeling safe, and that's just their flow and that's their process. So we know when we get a batch of people from certain ministries, they must be doing something new, or they have new people that they're inducting into their programs or their leadership teams or membership teams.
Exactly. And we have people who've been using us for as long as 5 years. And we'll see them come through.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. They're still using. Wow, that is wonderful. Because we are a third party. We are the objective third party in that whole equation. And so I just want everyone to know I'm going to continue to talk about it because it's been such a great tool. We've gotten great comments. If those of you who join me on Tuesday nights when I talk about the assessments and I lay out the various benefits of it and its attributes, you know that it is a great tool. If you haven't been able to join me on Tuesday nights, go to the site and just click on our assessment. Ashley, what is the name of it again? We have a title for it, isn't it?
Oh, for the Tuesday night?
Yes.
See,
I got too many shows going on. You know that's the problem, right?
I know it, and I'm drawing a mind blank. I'm going to have to look it up so I get it right.
Yes, because I know it's about finding their destiny and discovering their power and their strength for their destiny. And so, but go on there, click on all of those, and you'll get a chance to hear what these assessments are about. This last several weeks, I've been talking about the prophetic church. So if you have a prophetic church, if you attend a prophetic church, you might want to go back in there and listen to that. Beginning next week, I'm going to talk about the apostolic church so we can understand the type of Christians and followers you get. So this thing is bigger than who follows who, who's pulling. I'm not pulling from people's ministry. I want to fill them. I want everybody to get their share. We got enough unsaved folks on the planet for everybody's church to be bulging at the seams. And we have enough saved folks to keep it going. So hallelujah. So listen, where are we going next, Ashley? You're not going to go someplace.
I know. Well, some of the titles of those Tuesday night shows are The Prophetic Church and The Marketplace Minister, Benefits of Mentorship and Training, Uncovering What Makes Your Team Powerful. That's the thrust of what you're doing on those Tuesday night shows. So everybody knows how to uncover what makes you powerful, parts one and two as well. So if people go back to theblogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show, you will be able to scroll down as long as we've been recording on the Blog Talk Radio and re-listen or share forward. Some of your systems will allow you to download the shows for yourself.
Yes. And it's a real training. So if you are into staff training in your ministry, if you are, I want people to get how we train. If you want to learn how to make decisions about who's who, to set criteria, to set candidacy rules and all of those kinds of things, that thing on Tuesday night is what we do. It is nothing like Thursday. The two shows are very, very different. Tuesday night is more academic, more instructional. And so I want you to do that because it's time for us as leaders to take the reins of God's kingdom, of our ministry, and to take the authority back and not just kind of loop-de-loop, well, I think I got it, what the Holy Ghost said to me. Well, actually, he said so-and-so to me. God is a person, and a person has a personality. And so we need to find out how he thinks about these things. So that was a good opportunity for us to clarify that so that everybody knows this is a gift I bring to the body of Christ. And I do it because I absolutely enjoy it. I want all of you all to be blessed. I want everything God has to be leaping and abounding in his abundance. So, now, hey, do I have another call or what? What do I have going on?
Yes. You have another caller. All right, and right now I'm going to open up the line to Patricia from Oregon. And Patricia is a full-time mom. She's calling in. She's a three-year-old little girl. And she was praying for balance and how to train her daughter up in the way that she should go and to meet the needs of her husband.
Oh, yeah.
Patricia, welcome to the show.
Hi there.
Hello, Patricia. How are you doing?
I'm good, Dr. Price. Thank you for accepting my call.
Oh, it's my honor. You know, I keep telling you guys I love you all. I want to hear from you. But I understand you have a beautiful three-year-old, huh?
Oh, she's amazing. She is off the hook, that little girl.
And you're having fun with her, aren't you?
I am. But she's a lot of work. I mean, being a parent is not, you know, it's not easy. My husband and I are doing our best to, you know, keep our household, our marriage, and just being parents in line with God's word. But again, she's a firecracker, and my husband and I just really want God to give us kingdom tools to be parents to this little girl and to raise her up according to her, to what God has called her to be.
Well, I will tell you this. Number one, your little daughter is analytical and creative at once, which is a very interesting thing. So she doesn't lean to one side more than the other. She's very analytical because she's going to question you about everything and explore everything.
Oh, come on.
She's the one that's going to open it up, and before she tells you she likes it, she's got to figure it out and handle it so that it makes sense to her mind. On the flip side, she's very creative. She likes to tell stories, and I mean really just like real have a, she has a great imagination, and that's going to be great for her. So the two things you have to recognize is that you cannot knit her. She's that kid that's going to be able to do a lot of things. Your greatest challenge with her is going to be as she gets into her preteens, her tweenies and preteens and all of that, your greatest challenge with her is going to get her to focus in on any one thing. She has a really rich balance of your husband and your attributes, which is very unusual for a lot of kids today because usually you'll get more of the mom or more of the dad. That is not the case with this little girl. Now, the son that will be coming, that's a whole different story. But this little girl here is going to need, she needs her dancing. She needs artistic outreach. She needs culture. She needs a lot of culture. And I don't mean the cultures of this world. I mean she needs a lot of artistic outreach and expression. You have to give her that paper, let her draw, because she's got to do that. She's got to. And even in her frustration, she will express it if you put a pen and paper in her hand, and she'll do it. The other part of her being analytical is that you better know who you are as a parent, because as she grows older, she's going to challenge everything about you, and you need to have the right answers. If you're going to raise her in a Christian home and raise her as a Christian, then here's what you need to do. You better know God, and you better have the right answers, because you are the one that's going to determine her identity. As a woman, this particular daughter, I'm not talking about the future one, this particular daughter needs you to be a woman and to be clear about it. She needs you to be definitive and in all ways. I pray that you and your husband have a balanced relationship where he doesn't need you to be less of a woman to be more of his wife, that he appreciates that womanhood about you and you appreciate his manhood. I'm going to tell you something else. There is no cookie cutter marriage. Marriage, when it happens, you become one. And so you can read all of the books you want to read. You can follow all of that stuff. When it's all said and done, there is no cookie-cutter marriage, because what happens in a home is a dynamic all its own. The spirit of marriage that God put between you may not be the same spirit of your mom, your dad, and your friends. First of all, it's a whole different era. It's a different era. So you can't even have your mom and dad's marriage because you're not dealing with the same set of circumstances. I see the Holy Spirit is very pleased with where you're going. He just wants you to be parents. You are don't get so fascinated with your daughter that you think you have a little rising star and you forget you have a child who has to navigate life in the future. So I hear God saying to you, don't be over fascinated with your daughter.
Mm.
Be a mom. Be a mom. Be a mom and listen to her, etc. Don't tell her I'm gonna be your friend forever. You're gonna be a friendly mom, and she'll get her friends elsewhere. This girl is gonna need strong mentorship, not bossing, strong, because she's strong willed. What she likes, she likes. What she doesn't like, she doesn't like.
Mm-hmm.
She's very definitive. So you are going to have your own identity intact. That is the word of the Lord for you and your family for the immediate future.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
So I'm going to pray for your family. Father.
Okay, thank you.
In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for this young family. I thank you for this beautiful daughter that they have and the wonderful son that's coming. I thank you, Lord, that even that son that's coming, God, will be an attorney, that he is going to have as analytical a mind as his sister and more. I thank you that you bring this family up in your will, that you bring them up according to your glory, and, God, that you cause them to be, first of all, independent of each other's dependency, and then dependent on one another's independence, so that they will be effective as a family, but he will be effective as a father, she'll be effective as a mother, and that they will not allow their identities to be watered down by this culture. God, you've given them a great treasure, and even the one to come is a great treasure. God, give them that wisdom. Speak to them every day. Put them in your word. Guide them by your spirit so that they can produce the fruit of the womb that you need and rear up children that you can rely on and use way into the future. And I bless you for doing it. I bless your house. I bless your marriage. I bless your parentage.
You,
in Jesus' name. Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Dr. Price, can I have a point of clarification? you said something that a son is coming.
Yes, I don't know if it's adopted or not, but I see a boy.
Amen. We've been praying for that. We just decided to move forward with trying to have a second child, and we've been praying for a son. So that's
well,
confirmation.
He's going to be an attorney, so you're going to have a son because God needs him to be an attorney.
Amen. We'll train him up that way.
God bless you.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Prophet Ashley.
That was good. I tell you what, we're getting a nice variety here today.
I know. I love the variety. You know, I get a kick out of it. And you know how I love children. I love blessing children. And you know how I love blessing babies. Because I feel like if I get a chance to call the shot first, then God gets the first hold on those children. So I'm excited about that.
That's right. You and your parenting lessons that you give are just priceless as well. Just the little nuggets like that. Don't be so fascinated with your daughter that you forget she's going to need you as a mother. That alone can shift how that little girl turns out. My mom was like that. She would tell me, I am not here to be your best friend. Now, I hope this is a friendly relationship, of course, but I am here to see to it that you get to adulthood in your right mind.
Absolutely. And that you survive. You know, Ashley, you'll remember when we first connected years ago, I had a number of college children, college kids in our church. You remember? And so many of their parents totally ill-equipped them for college life, let alone real life. And they were not ready for career. I was surprised. I remember counseling one young couple that were going to get married, and they didn't even know that the light bill was separate from the rent. Oh, you mean light's different? Yes. You mean gas is different? I mean, basic things parents do not give their children to survive in the world because they live their lives fascinated with their offspring, over-fascinated. And so kids are darling. They are impressive. They change every day. I love it. I mean, I love watching what my daughters could do from day to day. But I never forgot that my job in their life was to teach them to succeed in the future and not to be so obsessed with the now that they never migrated from childhood to adulthood. And that was important to me. Most parents raise their children to be children all their lives. They're just bigger children. But for those of us who are in Christ who know that we have precious commodity, we got precious cargo, we've been entrusted with precious things, you have got to remember that cute little kid today has to make it through life, has to make it for 70, 80, and 90 years on the planet. What are you going to do to see to it that they're effective at it at the least and triumphant at best? That is the question that has to be on every parent's heart. Am I going to make sure that when you get to college, you're not going to bomb out because you don't know life? I mean, I can't even tell you how many girls can't do laundry, can't make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and you're talking about a baby go off to college. You don't go to college with your kid, so you need to make sure that they can survive when they get there. It's wonderful that you do all of that stuff at home, but your kid is not built to stay at home forever. They're built to go out into all the world and make their way. So that's my attitude. And I could see her little girl, sweetest little child, gracious girl. Love. I could see her sitting down drawing and everything. But I thought, they have a precious gift, a treasure. And all of us have treasures in our children. Let us make sure that those treasures become precious and are not shattered and destroyed when we release them from our own vaults. Because, see, home is the vault. That's the treasure vault. But when you get out into the world, that's retail and marketing, and everybody's going to merchandise them. Hallelujah. Do I have any more calls, or do I have time?
Yes, you do, and yes, you do. All right.
Okay.
We have.
You know what? We covered a lot of ground today. You know that?
Yes, I do know that, and I know our listeners know because they're probably typing and writing feverishly.
Well, let's remind them they can go back and download.
Yeah, they can. They can go back to blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show at any time, 24/7, day or night. Listen to all of the shows that we have recorded, the Tuesday nights and the Thursday day sessions. And you can go back and go back and go back. It's better than a DVR. Because it's never going to max out. You can just listen to it as many times as you want, and the space will always, always be there.
Absolutely. So I'm looking forward to that. Well, I'm having a blast. So who do I have next?
Well, you have another caller, but let me also make this plug that tonight, if you, in case you did not get enough of Dr. Price today, it is Thursday, and Thursday is in the classroom, where 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, there will be a webinar broadcasting, whether a live one or a pre-recorded one. Dr. Price will somehow be on the Internet. And today's, this evening's session is Praying Governmental Prayers Part 2. The last month was part one. This month is part two. And part two addresses 14 reasons why governmental prayer differs from intercessory prayer, the nature of governmental prayer, the spiritual and mental posture of governmental prayer, from devotional interaction to official transaction, and 10 important acts to engage invisible forces. All of that is in like an hour teaching. With Dr. Price is $35 because the resource is just amazing. And so there are notes on the slide. You're going to be able to write things down as she's going through them. There are scriptures involved. You can go to www.drpaulaprice.com and click on the tab at the top that talks about classes. You'll be able to see the description. We have a theme each week, so you'll know what theme is coming up next. And then when you also click on another tab on there, it will take you, when you read the description, to a link so you can see all of the other in the classrooms that are available. We have them on intercession. We have them on apostleship, prophetic development, and even just you talking about the soul of success, facing giants, embracing the power of grace. Those are all available. Excuse me, for you to partake in. We've been promoting it on Facebook. Looks like the feedback is really high, and so we want to push that today to our listeners. If you can't do it tonight, again, you can do it tomorrow. You can do it the day after that. Very few things are just a one-shot deal, except for our events. You kind of have to be there live for that. But other than that, you can go back. And so if you work this evening or if you have a meeting or family time, but you want to take it Saturday, you want to do it Sunday, that's going to be your routine, you can do it like that too. Again, www.drpaulaprice.com. Click on the classes, review in the classroom, and go for broke.
Well, I tell you what, I love it too. And I remember when I was teaching the praying governmental prayers, I do hope everybody who is an apostle, a prophet, or an intercessor takes that program. Now, here's what's great about it. You can take it yourself, and then you can help your team. They are very instructional sessions, but that one is important because, you know, you remember, was it last week we had the call with the group in was it Canada where they were praying and not knowing why they were getting sick? That is why we do those in the classrooms, so that you can guide your people safely into the supernatural realms and then teach them how to navigate and negotiate effectively, even to go in or when to back out. You know, our crew, you know, I always like it when Chief prays, she said, you all have been in prayer times, Ashley, intercessorily. You've been in prayer times, and the Lord has said, come back out of there. Uh-uh, you can't take that. That's not for you to do. Well, if you are not developed enough as a prayer leader to even hear God say back out or retreat, then you probably need a lot more training and development. So these are great trainings, are great courses. I'm excited about it.
I agree. Yeah. We have had all of the experiences in intercession over the years where just because you recognize something needs to be addressed does not mean it's your assignment to tackle it and attack it in the spirit.
That is true. And people do it all. Again, we have one of the things I like about what God is doing, I think that's why I keep sounding, you know, the same alarm. One of the things that God is doing is he's raising up boundaries and guidelines again. Not everybody is equipped to do everything. Not every life is equipped to be on your intercessor's form. Your people may look great in church. They may, I don't know who this is, but you're a pastor. I'm speaking to you right now. And but your people may look, and actually God says you're not, you're an apostle. But anyway, your people are great in church. They're lifting up their hands. They sing loud. They don't miss a beat. But you've never been to their house. You don't know what they have going on in their house. You don't know what kind of constant shows they're watching. You don't know, you know, I mean, there are a whole lot of things. For example, there are a lot of Christians who like the Twilight thing. Well, that's vampire. How can Satan cast out Satan? See, that person doesn't need to be on your intercessory squad because they're going to help usher in the problem and not expel it. There are a lot of people who are obsessed with Harry Potter. They're like, that's not witchcraft. Well, you cannot go out there with that and think you're going to fight off and fend off what you host every day in your home. You need to be very circumspect about what your people are doing if they're going to go out in those spiritual realms, in those high supernatural realms in the name of your church, because they could bring back stuff you don't want. So whoever you are, and you are an apostle, that's what the Holy Spirit is telling me, whoever you are, screen your intercessors. And I mean screen them thoroughly, because if any way, it's been my experience as a pastor myself, that if your church is going to get taken out in any fashion, it's going to begin with your intercessors. If you ever want to know how strong your church is, know your intercessors, because your intercessors are the first gate. They're going to come, that thing is going to come in through them, through their prayers, through their lifestyles, through whatever. If your intercessors, if you have intercessors who are struggling with various issues, moral issues, ethical matters, or if they're struggling even with physical matters, or what I'm telling you, that's going to go through. Think about it. If you think they're supposed to go to spiritual warfare, and you send them out to be spiritual warriors, A, you haven't trained them. Then you haven't vetted them. You don't know what they're doing. You haven't verified their capacity. You don't know what their endurance is, their resilience. And you need to be very careful. And I want to say there's a difference between your congregational prayer team and your intercessor squad and your high warriors. Very different. That's three different dimensions of prayer power and supernatural engagement. So I want to say to you who are listening to me today, if you have churches and leaders, evaluate your team. And again, I'm going to make another plug because we have them. Those our assessments will tell you. For example, if our assessment, because we have a segment in there, greatest threat. If our assessment says that this person has a need for spiritual purity, they ought not to be on your intercessor team. And it will tell you who has a need for spiritual purity. It will tell you who has responsibility issues. It will tell you all of those things before you send them out. But the one that you don't want is for them to have a need for spiritual purity and the need to learn how to rightly divide God's word of truth, because that's not going to be a good warrior for you. Now, that's how finite these tools are. They can give you that information. But for all of you all who are sending out prayer warriors and your whatever, and I want to say to you who are leaders and pastors, hey, float in your prayer room. Just float in the back room. Float in the back of the room. Listen to what's going on. You need to know the kind of battle that's been waged in your name and in the name of your church. Now, again, you know, I'm hot today, Ashley, on things like that, but I so want to say to everybody on the line that is a powerful class. You need to sign up for it. You need to know it yourself as leaders. And even as a leader, you need to have this class because it's going to tell you how to correct what is wrong and how to recognize it. Because many things may be wrong in your spirit. You feel in your unction. You know, I feel in my spirit something isn't right about that. But you can't voice it or you can't articulate it. It just doesn't come out in words that make sense to others. That is what these classes are for. They're not assuming you don't know how to do it. They're not assuming you have never been exposed to the spirit realm or you don't know how to pray. They are literally giving you articulation, verbiage, for what you've been feeling and sensing in your spirit and in your heart. So these are great classes. I tell everybody, take them, and by all means, if you're going to have an intercessor squad, you need to put them through this assessment so you know what you're dealing with. I have had people that say, I'm the head intercessor, and they come up grade one. Minister, I'm just waking up to find out what that is. You don't need people out there playing in the spirit when you try to get somebody to pray in a building, pray in money, pray in a zoning variance, pray in some membership, pray in stability. You need somebody who knows how to deal with that and how to engage it effectively. So that's my thing today, Ashley. Did you hear that?
I like it. Keep it.
Can we keep it? Do you think that's a keeper?
Yeah, it's keeper.
Okay. Listen to me. I got two things to say. You know, we forgot to tell people we're going to be in California soon.
That's right. We are.
Yes, we're going to be in California in a couple of weeks. We're going to be in Ontario, California. Go to my website. Check it out. If you're in the California area, I want to meet you. And so go and check it out. It's an event that we're going to be a part of. And so I want you to know that if you're going to be there, by all means, check it out. And if you're near Ontario, get the dates, and we're going to visit. I like to meet my Blog Talk Talk fans. Y'all guys are important to me. And I think of you as family. So I'm going to keep saying that. The next thing I want to say, Ashley, is, you know, the Holy Spirit keeps giving me to say this, so I'm going to say it because it's important. And that is, next week we're going to promote it a lot more intense, but I want to talk to you about a teaching I did called the Knockoff Christian. You know, the church is in trouble. Huh?
I said, oh, yes.
What happened? Yeah, you like that, didn't you? I knew you would. But and this is for congregational Bible study, but it's a great teaching, and it's helpful to for midweek Bible study, adult Bible study, because we have a little workbook that goes with it. But the Holy Spirit keeps saying this because we need to know how to tell a Christian. Part of why we're, the church is where it is right now is because everybody who says that they're Christian, we just believe them. But the Bible says that Jesus tells us that everybody who says to me, Lord, 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 will not enter into his kingdom. So what, next week we're going to give you some snippets from it so you'll know. But I want all of you who have churches, Bible studies, intercessory squads, prophetic companies, I want all of you to tap into this particular teaching called the Knockoff Christian. Now, I did all of my points. I covered that. I got one more thing to cover, and then I'm going to take my last caller for today. And that is, you know, Ashley, did you remember that in September we're having our first executive apostleship training retreat? Did you remember
that's
that?
That's right. That's right.
I know. And it's September. And it's listen, this is important. I'm going to give you a lot more information about it on Tuesday. Ashley's going to remind me, and then more information next Friday. But this is a very closed session. It is specialized training for apostles and apostolic prophets only. It is, I'm only taking a small group because there's no room. So we're never going to have a large class. It's going to be you and me in the womb of God. It's closed chambers, and it is going to walk you through what God wants from this office, past, present, and future. So we're going to talk about that a little bit more next week, but I have to get my notes out because I want to be a good steward over what God has given us.
I agree.
Are you ready to give me a call?
I have one more for you. And she thought she wasn't going to get on today, but she is. Deborah is calling from Georgia. Let me pull her up here. Deborah, you are live on the line with Dr. Price. She would like prayer today, Dr. Price, to find her way in this world. And also, she is in the midst of a financial crisis as well.
Wow. Well, hello, Deborah from Georgia.
Hi, Dr. Price.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah? Yeah, well, I tell you what, your soul is weary, isn't it, darling?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, we have to pray some depression off of you so we can get you up in Adam again. Are you working now, Deborah?
Yes, I am. And I want to add something quickly to what I've asked for prayer for. My parents, actually, before I graduated from high school, my parents were involved in an auto accident, and my mother took the worst end of it, and she ended up under early retirement at the age of 42, and now she has, over 20 years later, now she's suffering with a rare condition called cervical spondylactic myelopathy. And I am, you know, I really want to succeed because I know I have visions to give and help others. And I want to give back, and I want to also give back to my parents. I lost my only sister almost 2 years ago from renal kidney failure. She suffered with diabetes at an early age, and then 3 years later, she went through kidney dialysis. So there's been a lot of struggle in my family, and I really want to succeed and move on as God has for me. So that's all I wanted to add.
Deborah, how long have you been saved?
Since I was 8. Yes.
And was your family a Christian family and a ministry family?
Yes, I grew up in a Christian home.
Were they in ministry?
Pretty much. Well, actually my father, he was a deacon, and my mother, in her family, pretty much we were involved with music, a lot of singing, and you know, through my life, I've always loved art. I like writing poems, and I sung in the choir. I did a lot of things. We were pretty much active in the ministry.
Okay, but Deborah, let me ask you this. But you stopped working for God. What happened?
You're asking me when I stopped working for God?
Yeah, when you really just went off doing a whole other thing. What happened? What forced you to do that? Was it your parents' accident or your mother's suffering?
It was pretty much, are you talking about for now when you're asking me that question when I stopped working for God? You talking about now?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, you somewhere along the line, you and your family had this veering off from God. In other words, you kind of wandered away from God's purpose in life. I wanted to know, when did that happen for you and what triggered it?
Okay, yes, that happened, oh my goodness, that happened several years ago. In my early 20s, I'm open to say this. Something happened with me at an early age, and a lot of things happened in my life. And I've wondered, I was full of pain, I was full of hurt. I believe it was spiritually and physically. Things changed for me, as far as me and my family, I know it's not about denominations. I stuck with it, but yes, when you asked me when what happened when I stopped working for God, yes, something did happen early on in my life. And yes, ma'am.
Listen to me, because I only have a few more minutes, and I don't want to cut you off before I get a chance to pray for you. But here's what I want to tell you. Anger and unforgiveness will bind up your body. You know that. Now, you know it theoretically. You know it theologically. But you're going to have to, I'm praying for God to give you the grace to forgive the situation that took you off course, the thing that exposed your parents to unbelievable risk, and what it is that's holding you today. Because this is a threefold cord that happened in your life. And so I'm asking God to step into it. I don't have time to get into it the way I want to today or to the way I would, but I would love for you to, when this is over, call my office and see if you can set up a life advisement so that we can work with you through that. But I'm only going to do it if you're going to work through it. Because let me tell you something. I will tell all of you on the line to call, but if you don't want to be made whole, don't call us. Call us when you're ready to be free. You can field test your healing any way you want. But if you want to be free, call us. If you want to be free, God is willing to give you one last opportunity to get your life back and to get back on track with Him. But you have got to be serious about it. Because this here, I want to be, today I'm tired of being bound, tomorrow I'm okay with it, today I'm tired of being sad, tomorrow it feels really good. I need you to make some hard decisions. God says He needs you to make some hard decisions on the course of life and stick with what you resolve. So I'm suggesting that you contact us. The number, is, Ashley will give it to you in a minute, but contact us so that we can see if we can get you on some sort of healing and restoration track, but you've got to want it, because it's not enough. It's not good for me to tell you all to contact us, and then when you do, you get on a program, and then you leave, and then you go out and tell people it didn't work. Well, no, I want you to go out and tell people you didn't want to work it. That's real clear. That's okay, but it's important. Now, if we feel like you need more than that, we will always refer you to more clinical therapies, because some of you out there need more than what we can give. But let's make this a start gate. You are brokenhearted, you are broken of spirit, and broken of soul. You have, and because of one thing, you allowed this thing to snowball. One reckless decision put you in a very vulnerable place, and then this thing has been snowballing in your life ever since. I feel God is ready to set you free. So I'm going to pray for you to be made whole. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you. I thank you for being our healer, for being our deliverer, for being the healing balm of Gilead, and Lord, for bringing us and sending deliverance for this woman from Mount Zion, where you say healing is and deliverance is. So I'm asking that you deliver her today. I'm asking, God, that you visit her home, visit her life, visit her family, Lord, and even visit her past so that you can bring her into a wholesome and healthy future. God, I'm asking that you would take out of her soul all of the uncleanness that's been sown there. I thank you that you would purge it by your blood, by the blood of the Lamb. And I'm asking, God, that you would give her good counselors, good mentors, good leaders, and God, cause her to trust again. God, I'm asking that you would give her the spirit of deliverance and also forgiveness that she can trust again and be made whole. I'm also asking, God, that you would enhance her prayer life and enhance her prayer language. So give her the tongue she needs to pray through the obstacles that she's been facing over and over again. I'm asking, God, that you deliver her from this most recent setback by your mercy. Have mercy on your daughter. She is your daughter. She has called on your name. And you say, whoever calls on your name shall not be ignored, will never be rejected. So, God, I'm asking that you would hear her today, that you would hear her heart, even beyond whatever flaws and faults we all have. I'm asking that you would hear her heart and heal her soul and deliver her that she can become a useful vessel for you, Father. In the holy name of Jesus, we speak the Echo-do-bo-shaka, deliverance into your soul from this day forward. Amen and amen. Deborah?
Yes.
Now do what I say and give us a call, okay? But understand that it's already begun. God is going to take you over, and he's going to take care of you. But you're going to have to trust him as a father. See, that father thing is an issue for you right now. Trust God as your heavenly father, okay?
Thank you.
All right. I love you, baby. You call us back and let us know what's going on.
I will.
All right. God bless you. Prophet?
Amen. 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 For the overdue healing and deliverance.
Ooh, hey, we all need it, because sometimes when we, you know, it's so funny, people can get a spiritual wound and never, or a soul wound and never realize it until another situation triggers it. You know, because we can put false bandages on a lot of things in our lives. But there's a time that God said, this thing is festering long enough, I need to clean it.
Yeah. Wow. It never ceases to amaze me how God does that. Week after week, time after time, situation after situation, so many things on the surface look like something else, and it isn't.
Well, you know, we have learned in God that the strong man is always the most tiny thing. All of the big puff and stuff is overlaying the strong man. And the strong man is this little thing that we forgot that happened 10 years ago, 14 years ago, you know, when we were three, when we were in high school, or some people are in bondage to the repercussions of a prank that they did in elementary school that was more detrimental in the spirit than they imagined. And so it takes God to come in and say, no, I want to go back to that, because that's where we started this thing. And, I mean, you think about it. You know, God is always that God that's waiting for us to be healed. So I'm excited. Well, Ashley, we're running out of time. I can't take any more calls today because we're wrapping it up.
We are. Woo. And it's been that kind of show. They all are. And so do you have, in 90 seconds, any closing statements?
Yeah. Go to my website. And first of all, be in the classroom with me this evening. It's a wonderful session. Go to the website. If you haven't taken an assessment, take it. If you're a leader, take it. Also, my last encouragement is take and pass this on to your friends. Tell all your friends, you need to hear this. This is amazing. There's so much wisdom. We were very diverse today. You got a chance to see my apostle's mantle in its broadest diversity today. So we're almost broadest, because I have some more that I could go. But in any event,
I was like, well.
Share this with your friends, and by all means, I'm encouraging you, become a supporter so I can take this thing bigger and broader and wider. Know that I love each and every one of you. I thank God for you. I decree victory over you this week, and I decree triumph, track you down, and overtake you in Jesus' name. Until next week, God bless you.
Support the Paula Price Show today. For as little as $15 per month, you can help us expand our reach across the globe, ministering to hundreds of listeners weekly. Show your support today by visiting www.drpaulaprice.com and clicking the support button. Make a one-time seed or sign up for a monthly subscription. That's www.drpaulaprice.com. Click support and enjoy Dr. Paula Price in your living room.